Good morning, and I mean, I know we would all love a sunny, bright morning out there, but everything happens for a reason, and we know that the rain, it helps things grow, it waters the grass, waters the trees, and can water our hearts and help us grow even closer to the Lord. And so this morning, as we continue on in the series that we're doing on the church and our identity, our mission, and our vision statement, I've been asked to look at the topic of how can we gain and grow and have a deep and transformative connection with God. And we're going to be looking at the Bible as the means of how we can have that relationship, how that we can have that connection that is deep and transformative. And so before I begin, let's just look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask for his help as he speaks to us, and we just pray that he'll have something for each and every one of us. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you again, Lord, and Father, what a joy it is to be here this morning, Lord, to sing those songs of worship to you, to sing the words that I delight myself in you, Lord, and your glory, your power, your love is overwhelming, Lord. It's so true, Lord. It's so much more than we deserve. So, Father, we just pray for this morning. We just pray as we go into your word, Lord, that there'll be some truths and some nuggets that we can all apply in our own lives, Lord. And, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would speak through me, that the words of you would come forth, and that everything that I would say in my own strength would be forgotten, Lord, but that everything that you say would be remembered and thought on, Lord. So, Father, we just continue to come into your presence, Lord. And, Father, it's such a privilege that we have here to open your word. So, Father, we just ask for your help in this. We ask for your strength. And, Lord, we just want you to speak to each and every one of us, Lord. So, Father, we ask for your help. We give you thanks in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So really with having that, firstly, with having the connection, having that relationship with the Lord, we need to have that relationship first. We need to have come to the Lord in that saving, for that saving grace that he offers. And so without that relationship, we can't have any connection with God. We can't have anything having to do with him. And so right from the beginning of time, when we go back to the garden, we see that Adam and Eve and God, they had a relationship. God is a relational God, and he wants to have a relationship with us. And when we look at the story, we look at Genesis 1 and 2 and 3, we see that relationship taking place. We see God walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. Their presence was with each other. And then we would see sin come in and would break that relationship. And humans were, because of that, like we strive for relationships. We strive to have a relational relationship with our family, with our friends. We're always striving for that. And part of it is because that's who God is. When God created man, he created us in his own image. He created us in his likeness. And we would see that when God created man, in Genesis 1:26, he would say, "Let us make man in our image." And we would see God had a relationship with, there was a relationship between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so in doing so, we're relational beings. We're relational human beings striving for relationships. And so, but sin causes a barrier. Sin has a barrier between us and God. And so from the beginning of time, the plan was, God had a plan of salvation, that he was going to send his Son to be our sacrifice, because sin needed to be dealt with. We can't have a relationship with God and have our sin still being a barrier. And so we needed that to be dealt with. And the Lord Jesus Christ would be that sacrifice, would come and be our substitute, would go to the cross for each and every one of us. And so through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have that relationship once again with God. And so I pray that each and every one of us here this morning has that relationship, has that beginning point to have that connection with God, and that it's through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we get into the topic this morning, as we get into what role the Bible can play in our deep and transformative connection that we can have with God, we must ask ourselves some questions. Like, why is it that we can use the Bible to help us grow closer to the Lord, help us grow closer to God? And the first thing that we can see is, if we turn to 2 Timothy 3:16, it's one of those famous 3:16s of the Bible. Not as popular as John 3:16, but 2 Timothy 3:16 shows us why we can be trusting the Bible. So 2 Timothy 3:16 reads, and I'm reading from the King James Version, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And that phrase that I want us to grasp hold on is that scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, it's inspired by God, it's God breathed, it's in a sense his textbook to us in how we can live and how we can grow closer to God, how we can grow closer to Christ. And if we just look at different examples in our own lives, like we can see, like when we're in school, we have exams and tests. And if we want to do well on those tests and exams, we ought to study for those so that we know what we've been taught, whether it's science or math. And don't ask high school version of me what it is to study for tests, because I was not a studier for those. And it proved. Look at my marks, and it showed. And so we have these, we can study to do well on those. And then even for those who, when we go for our driver's license, some of us will get the driver's book, we'll read it, we'll go through it, we'll study it, we'll study our parents, how they drive even, because one of the things we do as children when we're growing up, we imitate our parents. And you can ask my parents, if you ever get a chance to meet them, what it is to have JJ imitating them in the car. And then another thing in our lives that we can use as an example of studying is, I know for me personally, with all my times in sports, is like with playing football, we'd be given a playbook, maybe not as thick as our Bible, but we'd be given a binder, and we were required to study the plays, study our, if you were a wide receiver, knowing the routes that you had to run. If you're a DB, a defensive back, you'd have to study your areas that you'd have to cover and who you'd be covering. And so, because if a team, if they have people that aren't studying their playbooks, they're not going to be successful. They're going to lose. And then even like taking that further in my sports, in my own life, with umpiring baseball, I have rule books that I have to learn. And like, yes, the baseball rule book isn't as thick as the Bible, but I have to know the rules in and out to be able to officiate those games so that I can call it fairly for both teams. And so without that, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm ought to do. And it's just like in our own lives. We've been given God's word. We've been given his textbook to us to live a life for him, to grow closer to him. And I just want to read a sentence from this book. It's called The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. And it's a really good book. And one of the sentences that he writes in his chapter on the speaking voice, which is referring to God. So if you have it, it's on page 75 in your library. But he writes in reference to the Bible, "He spoke a book and lives in his spoken words, constantly speaking his words and causing the power of them to persist across the years." And it hit me this week when I was looking at that. Like, we have, not only do we have God's written word, but he speaks to us daily through it. And so the why of how the Bible can play a role in helping us grow that deep and transformative connection and relationship to him is that it's his word. It's inspired by him. He's breathed it. He inspired the 40 different men to write down what it is that he was wanting them to write down. And we have his word to help us along. And so, continuing on, if we can go to Psalm chapter 1. And I really enjoyed that verse you shared this morning, Harry, because we're going to be going to Psalm 119 later. Don't worry, we're not going to be reading the whole chapter. It would take a long time to read that. But before we get there, in Psalm 1 has a very key part that we can apply to our lives here. And so, starting in verse 1 of Psalm chapter 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And verse 2, this is the key point. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And then we see in verse 3 the result of that. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And so that point in verse 2 about, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." It's been a challenge for me to be spending time meditating on his word, meditating in his word, as again, it's his textbook, it's his plan for us. And like, there's, whenever we're, everything that we go through in life, we can always go to the Bible, because there's always going to be a verse that can help us along. And it's why that verse that Harry read this morning, "Thy word have I hid in my heart," or "Thy word have I treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you." And that's how it can help us. We see the why. God's word is inspired by him. It's his truth. It's his textbook given to us. And how it can help is that if we hide it in our hearts, it can help us to not sin against him. And I was reading in William MacDonald's commentary, and he quotes a man, and he says, "The best book in the world is the Bible. The best place to put it is in the heart. The best reason for putting it there is that it saves us from sinning against God." And John Bunyan has also said, "Either sin will keep us from this book, or this book will keep us from sinning." And it's how we can have that connection, that we can have that deep and transformative, that we can be changed by it. And so, and even in Matthew 4, when the Lord, we have the account where the devil is tempting the Lord, and the devil tempts the Lord to change these rocks into bread so that the Lord can eat. Because if we look at the story, if we look at the account, The Lord's been wandering in the wilderness for 40 days, and he felt everything that we do as humans. He was God, but he was also fully man. And so it came a point where he was tempted, because he was just like us. He gets hungry. He was probably starving, you could say. And he was tempted to change those rocks into bread for food. And then we have that famous verse: "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." This word is, not only is it our textbook, but it has truths of how we can live. It has points and aspects that we can apply in our daily lives, even now. Now, some people in this world, they may think that, oh, the Bible is just an old book that has no meaning for today. Well, most of those people probably have never read it, because it speaks to us. And we read in Hebrews that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, that pierces to our souls, and it helps us rightly divide what is right and wrong. And for those people, they probably have never even read it. They probably have never even cracked it open. Because I know from my own life, when I get into this book, when I read it, it speaks to me. And we can live by his word. And you can even ask, well, how can we trust the Bible? How can we know that it's reliable? Now, this can be a topic for another message, but we do have so many proofs that the Bible has been written by God, that it's been maintained. You just have to look at different tests that you can put through the Bible: the honesty test, the corroborative test. You can look at different ways that this book has been passed down from generation to generation. And again, that's a whole other subject that you can look at. But there are evidences that we can say, yes, this book is true. It's been true for thousands of years, and it's still true today. And we can live by it. And so let's turn to Psalm 119, as I mentioned that we were turning there. And some of the verses that I want to look at right now, and again, it's in that aspect of how it can be changing us, how we can be applying it in our lives. And so I'll begin in, I'll just read verse 1, and then I'll jump down to verse 9. So verse 1 of Psalm 119 reads, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." And then jumping down to verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of my mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of my testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." And we also see later on in verse 105 of Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so not only does the word of God help us from sinning, helps us grow closer to the Lord, but it's a guide to our feet. It's a light to our path. It can show us choices that we can make if we're ever coming to God with questions of, oh, how should I do this or how should I do that? We need to look to the Lord, because his word, it can show us how we ought to live and what decisions we can make, because his word is truth. He lives in it. He's the light to our path. And I remember with the thought of delighting in the word, delighting in spending time with him, I remember being challenged at a conference back in North Carolina. It was a Rise Up conference back in, it was 2012. But one of the preachers was speaking on being intimate with the Lord and how we ought to be trusting in Him. And he challenged us with, and the phrase that really challenged me was, if we are not spending time with the Lord and His Word on a daily basis, we are either backsliding or soon will be. And I remember when he shared that in reference to like the truths of the Bible, it really hit me, because when I look back in my own life, when I see how I was living in high school and even after high school, if I wasn't getting my quality time, if I wasn't getting that time in His Word, then my days would be a mess. And now as I've learned, as I've grown from that, as I've matured, I can see the value that when we do spend time in His Word, whether it's in the morning, at lunchtime, or in the evening, whatever time, because there's no right or wrong time to be in His Word. When we have it as a regular practice, when we make it natural to us, our days are just so much better. And I've known in my own life, it's so much better when I am spending time with Him, because at work or even at school, when you're going about living, there's always going to be obstacles that come up. That question, why do you think this way? Why do you believe this? And if we're spending time in His Word, we can have the truths that we can speak to, that we can live to, that we can look back to as our foundation and be like, yes, I think this because of this, or I'm doing this because this is what God wants me to do. And we can think, yes, that's how it ought to be. And so with spending time with the Lord and His Word, not only does it show us how we ought to live, but it's going to result in us being more like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to help us become more like Him. And there's a hymn written by John Darby, and it starts off with, "And is it so, I shall be like thy Son." And we can be like Him by spending time in His Word. Because we would just see in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We have, and if we go back to that quote from Tozer, we have God speaking to us through His Word. We have Christ. We see Christ right from the beginning of the Bible right to the end. And if we're spending time with Him, it's going to result in us being made more like Him. And if we can turn to Exodus chapter 34. And then this is in reference to being a witness, being made more and more like Christ. And so in Exodus 34, we have the account. We have Moses, he's up on the mountain. He's up on Mount Sinai, speaking with the Lord in His presence. The presence of God is with him. And we're going to jump into verse 29 of Exodus chapter 34. "And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in his hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses knew not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him." So while he was speaking, while he was up with the Lord, while he was up with God, he was reflecting the glory. He was reflecting the presence of God that he was just with. If we continue on, "And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh to him. And Moses called unto Aaron and the rulers and talked with them." And then as we continue on, "And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord has spoken with him in Mount Sinai. until Moses had done speaking with them, he had put a veil on his face. And so we're just going to stop right there, and we're going to jump over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And so just as Moses, after spending time with the Lord, after spending time with God, was shining, probably shining like no other human has ever seen. But if we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to read verse 18, and then we're going to go back to verse 13. But verse 18 reads, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So I want us to be thinking in the back of our minds that phrase, beholding as it is the glass, or some translations might read, looking into the mirror, looking into the looking glass. So just hold that in your minds. And then verse 13, we'll jump in verse 13, and it's referencing Moses. "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel cannot steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it returns to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And then back to verse 18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And I love the New King James translation of verse 18. And it reads, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." And so we have Moses and us being contrasted here. When Moses came down from the mountain, he had a veil on his face because the people couldn't look at him. Now, when we spend time with the Lord, we're going to be reflecting Christ. And we live in a time where we don't have to veil ourselves. We're to be reflecting Christ. We're to be living so that people can see Christ living in us. That when we're spending time with Him and His Word, it brings out Christ's truths in us. And then when we go out into the world, when we're going out, people then can see Christ in us and can see us reflecting that image, reflecting that glory. Because the people, when they saw Moses, they knew he was different. They knew he had been transformed when he was up on that mountain. But so much so that it probably hurt to look at him because he was so bright. And now that veil is done away with. We don't have to veil ourselves. We can spend time with the Lord, and people are going to see Christ for who he is. And how we do that is by spending time in his word, spending time in the Bible, looking at his truths, looking in the mirror of the glory of the Lord, because then we get to reflect Christ. And so back to that, the thought this morning of how do we gain and grow a deep connection? How are we transformed in our relationship with God? Well, this morning we've seen that it's through His Word. And there are many other ways that we can be transformed and that we can have that deep in connection with God. And we're going to be looking at that later on as we go further into the series. But we've seen this morning that yes, we can trust the Bible. The Bible, we can go through, we can prove that the Bible is true. We don't have to look very far. And one of the things that I love about the Bible is when we look at trying to see if something is reliable, if something is true, we look at how many copies of the Bible there are and when those copies date back to the original transcripts. and the Bible blows out every other historical book on the planet. And it's in the number of copies of the manuscripts that there are and in dating them back to the original. The Bible blows everything out. And we can, if you have doubts on that, I'd love to talk more with that on that. But that can be a whole other sermon. So we can trust that the Bible is reliable. We can trust that it comes from God. And we know that when we spend time in it, we're going to be learning more about Christ. We're going to be learning more about ourselves. And in closing, I just want to read John 8, 31 and 32. Actually, the second part of in closing. I'm going to go back to Psalm 1. But John 8, help if that is going the right way. So John 8, verse 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to these Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The Lord wants us to be spending time with him in his word, because it's through this that we can be made free. And then again, back to Psalm 1. We'll just read the chapter. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." May we be blessed. May we be challenged that by spending time with God and his word, we can be growing that deep and transformative connection to God, that we can have it more intimate, that we can go deeper with him, that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the word, that we can live for him, that we can be a light and the salt of the earth, that we can lead others to wanting to know more about what makes us click, about what makes us different. And it's through his word. It's through spending time with him, because the only way we can be made more like him is if we spend time with him. If we're going about our lives not spending time with the Lord, not getting to know him through his word, we're not going to have those resources that we can hold to. We're not going to be shining. We're not going to be reflecting like we ought to. And again, I'm just reminded of the account of Stephen when he was being stoned, that he imitated Christ and was saying, "Father, lay not their sins upon them. Forgive them." And he would see heavens opened up and would see the Lord standing to welcome him home. May we reflect Christ like that. May we imitate Christ, and may we live for him. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you now, Lord, and what a challenge I know it's been for me as I've looked into this and looked into the importance of spending time with you in your word, Lord, because I know for me personally, whenever I start my day in your word, whether it's listening to your word in the car, reading it, Lord, because I know sometimes people take in into their brains, into their thoughts better by listening than visual. But Father, I know my days tend to go a whole lot better knowing that I start it with you and then when I end it with you, Lord. And so Father, we just pray, Lord, that there's been a challenge for each and every one here, Lord, that if there is anyone here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they would want to fill that relationship that they are so striving for, Lord, to fill the void that the world can't complete, the world can't satisfy, Lord. And they can only be satisfied by you, Lord. So, Father, we want to be made more like you. We want to be examples for you. We want to be witnesses for you, Lord. And, Father, we just ask for your help in all of this, Lord. So, Father, we give you thanks for everything that you've done. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll continue to lead and to guide us in all of our journeys in life and the decisions that we need to make, Lord. Help us to be made more like you. Help us to be like the early followers, like the early disciples that were called Christians because they were Christ followers, that they were like you, Lord. Help us to be like them. Help us to be so Christ-like that people wonder what it is that makes us click. So, Father, we ask for your help in this. And we give you thanks for everything that you've done. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb, that the penalty was paid for, and that the penalty and the punishment was satisfied. And we thank you that you are sitting at your Father's right hand, waiting for us, Lord, waiting to bring us home. So, Father, we give you thanks for everything that you blessed us with. We give you thanks in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.